Our, let us stand together as we receive our precious brother, as we sing a verse to only leave as our brother comes to our front.
If you receive tonight, hold your hand up while our brother comes. Oh. Hearts be truly centered upon him as we have confessed his never failing presence, and knowing that all things are possible to them that believe in him. There is no variableness or shadow of turning. Great is his faithfulness. Let's look to him, believing tonight, expecting he will meet with us in a special way, and every need that we have, holding before him in faith tonight, he would take it under his divine consideration. And out of the abundance of his grace and mercy will flow forth that which we have need of, that we might leave this place encouraged tonight. With God, all things are possible. Almighty God, author of life and giver of every good and perfect gift, how we thank you tonight, Father, that you are a God who have given you promise. And then you come, Lord, and you bring that word to pass in the hearts of those that you have made that promise to. Those, dear God, who've been able to apprehend it. Those, dear God, who've been able to mix it with faith, confessing that you are able to perform that which you have spoken. Lord, if we have drawn nigh tonight unto you, approaching the great throne of grace with boldness, with confidence, coming, dear God, to this open channel that you've opened up to us in this day when you opened the seven seals, yeah. When you rented that veil in twain, and by a new and living way you've given us access to come into the most holy place, to enter into that logos, that pillar of fire, to come right into that word, dear God, and come back out with a blessing for the people. We pray, Father, that everyone that stands here tonight in your presence, oh God, that is able to confess that you are the same. You are still the same and does the same. That you will meet with them tonight in a special way. And no matter what their circumstance might be, no matter, dear God, what condition they might be trapped in, whatever they have need of, even not for themselves but some loved one, Almighty God, you who promise to supply our every need, even according to your riches and glory, Lord, you will just move in such a special way tonight, individually and even collectively, Lord. Almighty God, your people will not be disappointed. But dear God, you will meet their expectation tonight. And you will grant them that which they are believing that they have received from you, even as they stand in your presence now. Knowing, dear God, you said when we stand, pray, and believe that we have received what we ask for, and we shall have it. Lead and direct us tonight in the paths of service, Father. May this great Holy Spirit of truth, as you promised, will come back. Take the words of the Son of Man. Bring it back to our remembrance. Teach us all things. Show us things to come. Oh God, that you will just take the bread of life and break it to us in such a way that only you can break it and make yourself known in the breaking of it, Father. And may it bring such a faith to our hearts, faith sufficient for this hour, that we might walk in the revelation, Lord, of your will for us, Lord. We might be able to stand and take that place, dear God, that you've ordained us to in this hour. May you grant it. Bless all that is gathered in your presence. And if there be a visitor or a stranger tonight, one, O God, who have not yet come to know you in the pardoning grace of your living word, Lord God, may they see Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. May they see this great fountain that is open up, Lord, in the house of David. And may, oh God, they get under the streams of grace as it can point out to your word. And Father, may they find that you are faithful and that you will receive them, dear God. And may when they leave the service, they'll not be the same. All these things we ask, knowing that you are more than able to supply it, even as your promise. And may you take full charge now, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, we give you honor and glory. Amen.
Amen.
God richly bless you tonight. You certainly sing as though you get ready for the word.
Yes.
And I trust you are, because now it's my turn to sing a little bit. And I just want to sing for the Lord. Amen. Amen. Sing this new song. Amen. John, begin to shout and sing. Let's open up to 2 Kings.
Amen.
Amen. Chapter 4. Certainly appreciate all the ministers, all who have cooperated and made a support, those who've shown respects. Amen. Coming to the services and just having a prayer in their heart that God will bless his people. Amen. The only objective we have is to say something that would be a benefit to you, put you in remembrance, speak that which have already been spoken. The Spirit and the Bride says the same thing that the Spirit said in the prophet. And what the Spirit said in the prophet has already said in the word.
Amen.
Amen. And she under her messenger becomes the final voice for this final age.
Amen.
And once again, the world will hear direct from God.
Amen.
As it was at Pentecost.
Amen.
Amen. That's what he said. Amen.
Amen.
2 Kings chapter 4, verse 38. Couple events here in the Bible. And Elisha came again to Gilgal. And there was a famine in the land. and the sons of the prophets were sitting before him. And he said unto his servant, set on the great pot and boil pottage for the sons of the prophets. I just like that because there ain't no book like the Bible. In one verse, it tells us so much. Elisha came again to Gilgal. He was in Gilgal before. He had made a whole cycle and come back around to that place. And there was a great famine in the land when he came back. Amen. And the sons of the prophets were before him. And he was interested in their need in that hour. And he wanted to minister to that need. So he said, set on the great pot and boil pottage for the sons of the prophets. So much in that one verse. And one went out into the field to gather herbs and found a wild vine and gathered from it wild gourds, his lap full, and came and shred them into the pot of pottage, for they knew them not. Another person, he didn't know it, and everybody saw him pouring all this in the pot. Oh, and the mouth began to water, and they said, praise God, we're going to be able to have seconds and thirds, and you know, everybody was just lining up for a gastronomical jubilee. Amen. So they poured out for the men to eat. And it came to pass, as they were eating of the pottage, that they cried out and said, oh, thou man of God, there is death in the pot. They didn't know death was going in the pot, but they saw the effects of death in the people who was eating from the pot. You just have to look at some people sometimes, and you know what they've been feeding on. Amen. I don't think this man intentionally wanted to poison anybody. I think he had a good motive and objective in thinking that he would help minister to the needs of the people in that hour of severe famine. He was interested in their need, and he was trying to do something to help minister to that need. But God don't bless us always for good intentions. Amen. But he said, look at the prophet, he's cool. Oh, he was just calm. And he said, then bring me eel. And he cast it into the pot. He knew what to call for. If there is death on the scene, surely there must be some power that could break the power of death. And here was a man who had access to something. Amen. That could abolish death and turn death back into life. Amen. Glory. He didn't panic. And he cast it into the pot and he said, pour out for the people that they may eat. The same one who says, set on the pot, is the same one coming back and saying, pour out that they may eat. He is determined to achieve his objective. They must be fed. They must be nourished. God will take care of it. Amen. Hallelujah. And there was no harm in the pot and conjunction. Here's another event, but it ties the two together because they all happen in the same time and in the same place. And there came a man from Baal Shalisha, and he brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley and full ears of corn in its husk. And he said, give unto the people that they may eat. See? Pour out unto the people that they may eat. Give unto the people that they may eat. So you can see it's dealing with the diet in the time of famine. And God interested to meet the need of the people in that hour. And the servant said, what? Should I set that before 100 men? He said again, give the people that they may eat. For thus said the Lord, they shall eat and shall have some left. Amen. This man in the humanistic realm, he looked at the bread of the first fruits that this man from Baal Shalisha brought. And he didn't see nothing with it. He finds it was insufficient. See? But that bread cannot be ministered with man's understanding. When man, through the human understanding, look at that bread, they will always think it's insufficient. That bread has to be ministered with faith and power of the Holy Spirit. A man have to know how to break that bread. They were looking the same bread. So he set it before them, and they did eat, and left some according to the word of the Lord. May the Lord bless the reading to his word. You may have your seat. I want to speak a little bit tonight on divine provisions in this hour of famine. Because in reading this, I see God's determination and the willingness of God to meet the needs of his people, regardless of what the circumstances are. It shows how interested God is in nourishing and strengthening his people in that hour. Now, sometimes you may read a scripture like that, and the first thing, it looks like a little story. And I think that sometimes it happens to many people that they look at these things and they think that, well, that's some little something. Maybe that's a little Jewish history of something that happened back there. But I believe that when the seven seals were opened and the fullness of the word came into existence and our thinking was filtered by that word that came forth in this hour, we don't look at the Bible as the way the reformers look at it. Because we find out that the hidden truth was sealed in the word. And God's great threefold secret in the back part of his mind, he unfolded that mystery through the lives and acts of believers, expressing his one great goal and his purpose. And so the prophets, when you read the Bible, if you don't see Jesus Christ in it, go back and read it, you miss it somewhere. Because every scripture will reveal Jesus Christ, and one scripture will tie the whole Bible together. So as we look at this little scene here, I believe that this is a mystery of prophecy for this hour. And I believe that as we look at this, it holds an understanding of what is happening that we are seeing taking place in this hour of famine, in the days after the ministry of Elijah, because this was happening in the days after that great prophet had come and repaired the altar at the evening sacrifice. He had turned the heart of the children back to the faith of the fathers. God had come down by a pillar of fire and vindicated that message. It brought the rain back, the former latter rain fell again. And all the things that died were restored. But Elijah in that message was only able to get 7,000 who had not bowed the knees. God had pulled the seal back and showed Elijah that there were 7,000. He thought he was the only one. On present stage of my ministry, you hear him. Oh, man has forsaken me. And while in Bethlehem, he says, I stand alone in a hard place. But then in the preview of the bride, God show him, no, there's a group coming who believe your message. Hallelujah! Amen. And God pulled the seal back and showed Elijah. There's a group coming from around the world, marching onward Christian soldiers in the rhythm of the world. He knew he wasn't alone then. He knew there was to be a super race, a super church in the last days. Glory. Prophet said, not that Elijah felt he was something special, but he just felt forsaken. Amen. And sometimes when you get that forsaken feeling under that juniper tree, because he had already preached God called man, secondhand robe, showing that God was training man on the backside, getting him in the rugged schools of his training, getting him ready to carry this message. They would have a secondhand robe, but they would have the same spirit and power that Elijah had. Amen. Glory. And so as we look at this scene here, it's in the days after the ministry of Elijah and before the destruction of that Jezebel system. It was in a time of famine. And the scene that we look at here is people who were connected and identified with the spirit of Elijah that was still in the land, though Elijah had gone off the scene. And we find out in that hour, death had got into the great pot. Because man lacks spiritual discernment to tell right from wrong. Man, in their zeal and enthusiasm to help God and meet the need of the hour, went to a false vine. Went out in the field to a denominational vine. There's only two vines, you know that. Come all the way from Genesis. And that man was taking what was from a false vine and was ending up in the pot that the prophet told him, set on that pot. And now the debt from the false vine was now in the great pot. And I think that's a great problem I see today, especially in the last few years. You see so much people going to all these denominational vines and picking up all these things and bringing it into the message pot. Amen. And the results will always be the same. Death. Oh, they were having a great time. See, it looked good for food. It looked pleasant to the eyes. It looked as a tree desired to make one wise. You see, God has always been interested and very particular of what man should eat and what man should not eat. From the very beginning in the Garden of Eden, God told man what was good for food and what was not good for food. Eating was connected with life and eating was connected with death. From the very beginning, God put food under two categories. Amen. Eating was connected to the fall of man, and eating was connected to the fall of the church, and eating was also connected to the redemption of man. Amen. Jesus said a corrupt tree can't bear good fruit. He was talking about preachers. Amen. Oh, man. You know, in the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus and Deuteronomy, all the appropriate foods that God designated for his people to eat had characteristic of identification. A man had to know his food. God tell you, if it's cloven foot, if it has scale, different things, don't eat it. So a man had to be able to examine his food and know if that is good food or poisonous food. Why? Because food plays a great part in a person's health. Food makes blood and blood is life. And you are what you eat. Another thing in this day we find out is not just what you eat, but is what you eat where it comes from and what that is feeding on. You know, the prophet says they invent this DDT and they want to kill bugs and pests. So they're taking the spray, all the bugs and all the pests to protect the crops. Well, here comes a chicken in the yard. He goes and pick up that dead cockroach, spread with DDT. What do you expect? That DDT come up in the egg. And the man eats the egg and eats the chicken and come up in the human being. He said those chemicals in those industries, they manufacture the chemicals. They pour the toxic waste in them rivers. They pollute the waters. That fish inside that water become contaminated. Amen. They go to the restaurant and see the catch of the day. Oh, my. You see, they begin to eat that, and it comes up the food chain because they fail to realize what they're feeding on, where that thing feeds on. You get me? And today people like all these denominational theories. Oh, Dr. So-and-so said this. And we saw a nice program, and I think we're going to bring it in the church. And I went and saw this over here in this denomination, and that just strike me nice. And we are having a concert, and we're going to bring that in too. And they go to these pleasure trees and these fashion trees and all these different wild vines. And when they bring that and it comes in the pot, you watch the people start to look wild, act wild, dress wild, talk wild. Today you see all these camp meetings, seminars, all kind of things that we never even saw the prophet did, was never in the message, propping up everywhere. Where are they seeing it? Not in the message, in some denomination, in some program or some man. Oh, they admire it. It was so choreographed. It was so nice. Oh, they played the part so lovely. Everything was so moving. But where is Dr. So-and-so feeding from? Where is he getting his psychology from? Amen. Oh, now, it's no longer Malachi 4:5. Dr. Dobson has this. This doctor has that. The other doctor, where are they feeding from? Amen. Mixed with the politics and mixed with the Christian science and mixed with the little business principles and mixed with little different things. And it looks good. It impresses the intellectual mind. And they are bringing a lap full. But they point into the pot. And everybody's so impressed. And all of a sudden, they can't praise God no more. Their hand can't even lift up in the air. The dressing begin to change. Amen. The attitude and the approach and the promise begin to change. They are not looking for no promise no more. They don't cry and slobber at the altar no more. Why? What is happening? Something have gotten into the pot. From a wild vine. They cannot tell the difference of right and wrong. Their thinking is not filtered. They don't have a holy man taste. You see many of the cooks today. Message cooks using a lot of these denominational recipes, denominational theories from these reformer cookbooks. The prophet said, take this sort of food. He said, take this sort of food and feed the sheep. He said, I, by a commission, have been instructed by God to stop the food because a famine is coming. Amen. He knows what it takes to bring a bride to perfection, to bring a bride in speaking conditions. No doctor ever come in that condition with all they eat. No denomination ever come in that condition. But a prophet came from flesh to word and stood there and had that king's sword. And he was anointed to go back in the Bible and show us how a man can become the Word again and stand in union with God. People don't realize, you go in and reform a cookbooks. You might find some nice moral codes and ethics, nice principles of behavior. But that nutrients is designed to reform. That nutrients don't show your name in the book. That nutrients don't remove your amnesia. That nutrients don't make you recognize what part of the word you are. That nutrients don't let you know the word by what is happening. Amen. See? Why? It lacks nutritional value. It don't have the nutritional value. We have the diet for this age to grow a man to perfection. We have the diet for this age. Amen. You see a lot of these Greek foods today and all these Hebrew foods. Oh, my. And but all people are becoming scholarly, intellectual with those kind of foods. It has a negative influence on the church body. Oh, they become good debaters. They become good theorists. Amen. They no longer see the word as something to be made actual in the experience. Oh, my. You see the impact of it today on the church bodies. They were eating and eating, and all of a sudden, man begin to something begin to happen. Oh, my. The feet begin to get lame and turn out to depart. The hands begin to hang down. The eyes begin to get filmed over. And they didn't know what was happening to the church. Oh, my. Maybe they try fasting. Maybe they try praying. Isn't that all that? And the problem is somebody picking up that thing from the wild vine and bringing it and injecting it into the pot that is set on the air for us to feed from. You see how radical. Amen. You see how aggressive and proud. Amen. You see these things coming. Why? It's the impact. It's the influence. It is what has been produced from the poison that have gotten into the pot. Because it is producing a different kind of life. Not the life that is supposed to be here to show the continuation of the same revelation, bringing the ministry of the Son of Man to the resurrection. Because the ministry of the Son of Man always ends with a resurrection. Abraham and Sarah was changed in the Old Testament. Amen. When the Son of Man came to Abraham in the beginning of the Bible, in the middle of the Bible, the Son of Man came to Abraham, natural seed. The Old Testament saints awoke and came out of the grave after his resurrection. Amen. In the last days, when the Son of Man comes to the royal seed, both the living ones are changed like Abraham and Sarah, and the sleeping ones come out like the Old Testament says. That part is yet to be fulfilled. That part was left back for the bride. And there were certain things for her to feed upon to come to the voice of the resurrection, to come to perfection. Because when this church comes to perfection, then it will bring that resurrection. And how were they supposed to come there? By the food. By the diet. Oh, my. You know, preaching is a thing that has a great influence. Calvin preached people straight out of expectation and revival. Just by theory of predestination, what will be. They had no more desire for missionary work, had no more spirit of revival. It began to turn grace into disgrace, and immorality began to sweep into the church, until God had to raise up John Wesley to knock that thing in the head and balance it up with holiness. Is that right? Is that the message? Is that what he said? Then the Methodists, they get so methodical. Brother, they brought the church to such a place. The Armenians had the people tore up, struggling, had no rest, had no peace. Because they were stirring them towards works for justification, stirring them to dead works. Amen. Cooking is not just according to ingredients. Cooking is according to recipe. Amen. And the ingredients must be in proportion. Oh, yes. Even certain things have a certain time to go in the pot. Amen. Yes, sir. Certain things have to be cooked separately and then included in the food. Amen. Glory. Look at Jesus. He was particular what went in his pot. Amen. Jesus told his church that you beware of the leaven of the scribes and the Pharisees. Beware of the leaven of Herod. They sit down there, but are taking CNN all day and get filled with the leaven of Herod. Amen. Until everything they talk, the speech change because the electronic media grip the mind and bring them under the influence. See? The leaven of Herod, politics. See, the leaven of the scribes. The leaven of the Pharisees. Look at Paul. He watched over his pot with great diligence. Amen. He said, if an angel come from heaven, he said, and interfere with this recipe, let him be accursed. Because I got this from the chief chef. Oh, my. He had a pot. He had a pot in current. He was feeding them from. Oh, my. He was feeding them just right. But man began to put things in that pot that Paul didn't put in that pot. And the impact of it upon them was, I'm of Apollos. And they started to get under the personality cult. They started getting the comparing ministries. Nick was like, I'm of Paul. I'm of Cephas. And they started getting the division. And Paul never put that in the pot. He had a pot on in Galatia. And brother, it had some people from Jerusalem come down. Oh, they were the authority. They walked with Jesus. They were getting the meetings. Amen. And then what happened? Things begin to go into that pot in Galatia. Is there all foolish Galatians who have interfered with this recipe, who bring something and put in this pot and bewitch you? You eat that and you get under a spell. He says, now look at you trying to justify yourself by works. You lost sight of your covenant and your relationship and your change of dispensation. You're going back under the old covenant. Is that what's the matter with you? You're getting entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Somebody had preached them into that spot. Preached them right out of the promise. Oh, man. But look at those in Thessalonica. Shaken in mind and troubled in spirit. Why? Because of some letter. Maybe some tape, some video or something. Back there was letters. Amen. Somebody said, no, that can't taste good. He said, I know that. You gotta put this inside it. I'm going to set it down for you. Amen. Some special herb here. We got it from this vine over here. Next thing, they became ignorant of the seventh seal. He said, I will not have you ignorant concerning the coming of the Lord. They got ignorant concerning the resurrection seal, concerning them who are asleep. Amen. They got confused. Is it revealed? Is it open? Is it right? Could it be? What it is? Could we know? Think of it. You saw the prophet got this pot. But the men were splicing tapes. Trying to make it say different things. Men are trying to alter the recipe and add to the recipe. And he put a curse upon it. He said, this is not my recipe. This is his recipe. And I get this recipe from Paul, who gets the chief recipe. And I'm looking at how Paul measured out the food, and I'm measured out the same way. Oh, Jezebel had a lot of people at her table too.
That's right.
Didn't the Bible say so?
That's right. Come on. Tell somebody.
There's eating paganism wrapped up in Christian terminology. Masking the food. You know Rebecca cooked goat and make Isaac think it's venison. You know that in the Bible. And people are taking all the little denominational teachings and masking it in message terminology and making it sound like message. And the gullible and the ignorant is devouring left and right because they don't know what is right from wrong. And next thing, they're looking wild, acting wild, talking wild, behaving wild. Get the fuck down. Amnesia set back in. Drifting soul, wandering, a vagabond. Sure. From interpretation to interpretation to interpretation, receiving all kind of church seed. Oh, my. Remember Balaam gave them things to eat, sacrifice to idols. I wonder what tree he get that off of. Oh, my, man's person, man's image established in the hearts of the people. Oh, my, Korah, he put some gain things in the pot. Moses had the pot just right, taken into the promised land. They were eating, amen. Hallelujah, Moses was preaching the word. But Korah had his game changed. What did he do? But he made a whole line of people, the world swallowed them up. The Bible said the earth opened, he said, type of the world swallowing up many people today. World is taking them over. Oh, my. Even Polycarp stood up there and watched them men shredding them things in the pot and saying, well, I don't think it might make a difference. You know, some people like a little more salt, so it's use. And Urania stood there with flaming eyes and said, that is not according to the recipe. And when God came back in this day to qualify the messenger, he bypassed Urania and picked Polycarp. Polycarp and picked Urania. Because Urania is more militant towards the things that was going in the pot. That was different to the recipe that Paul gave for that age. Yeah. Amen. Glory. So this, as we look at it, notice there was life in the pot. But then death came into the pot. And then when death came to the pot, and the pot became polluted and contaminated. And it became poisoned. And now there's a pot of death instead of a pot of life. Then here was the prophet now calling for meal. Bring me some meal. Amen. To do what? So he can go into the pot and abolish death and bring back life again in the same pot. So we realize it was something, not a little story, because Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden had eternal life, had fellowship with God, was in oneness with God. And then death came into that pot. How? The woman went to a corrupt tree that God told them don't eat from, and she took that corrupt fruit and put it into her vessel. Amen. And now the human race that had eternal life, fellowship with God, power over the earth, now death is coming to it. But what did God do? He said, I'll give you the corn of wheat, I'll give you the meal. Amen. Hallelujah. He'll come to you one day. He'll be cast into your vessel again. And it will turn, abolish death and bring life and immortality back to light. What happened to the first church? What happened to the first church? As the serpent beguiled Eve. Men came what? Perverting the gospel. Preaching another gospel. Which is not another but the same gospel. Perverted. Injecting something into the pot. Rearranging the molecules of the food, injecting substances into it. And yet last night, changing the truth into a lie, because it can no longer be the truth when these things are added into it that was not spoken for this hour. Amen. Amen. The human race, the church, had life. Look at him in the Alpha. Resurrection, translation, healing, angelic visitation. Sin couldn't stand among them. Visions. People stood in the shadow as healed. Think of it. And then things begin to come into that pot. And they begin to eat something that was contrary from a corrupt tree. Jesus had told them in Matthew 7, a corrupt tree can't bring good fruit. He said, outwardly, it looked like sheep, but inwardly it's raising the wolves. Now watch. So we see then, from this, trying to establish you, it's not a little story. It's not Jewish history. The seven seals have been opened. And the hidden truth seal in the word is revealing Christ. Because if you read the scripture and don't see Christ, we need to go back and read it. Because the entire Bible is the expression of one goal and one purpose. It's a book of redemption. When those seven tongues of the voices, it will reveal the hidden truth that was sealed in the word. Then watch, let's look. As I said, it's a mystery of prophecy for the last days. Because this scene here, when is it taking place? It's taking place in the days after Elijah's ministry, before the destruction of that Jezebel system. It was a time of darkness, a time of apostasy in the land, because there was a great falling away from the faith. Elijah had come and restored the faith, but the people chose Jezebel religion because they didn't have a love for the truth, but they had a love for the lie that Jezebel told and pulled them down from where God had them in the faith of the fathers, pulled them down by her tail, her Baal tail. And she began to